has been good to us once again. God is good and all the time. Yes, He is. You know, God has a way of bringing us together.
Yes, He does.
It's cozy in here, you might say. It's real, real fond of us to come together
like this.
It's real fond of us, I should say, for us to come together like this. But you know, nothing can stop the Word of God from going forth. And so even though we had to use a different facility today, nevertheless, God's Word shall be spoken today. This morning, from the book of the Hebrews,
we're going to talk
from chapter 9. Verses 24 through verse number 28. The redemptive works of Jesus. Let us take a moment and go to God
in prayer. O Lord, your graciousness has been given to us once again. We have been blessed to be able to come out to hear your word in spirit and in truth, to worship you in spirit and in truth.
We thank you for and pray for those who are sick and shut in. As we come together to worship thee, Father, we pray for them that they may be healed. Thank you for everything, O Lord, and we pray for our leaders as well as our membership and their families. We pray and ask you, kind Heavenly Father, that to help us to appreciate everything that you do for us, even when we may not like it. This weather may not be our favorite kind of weather, but it's your weather. And you give it as you please. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you for everything. And it's in the name of your Son,
Jesus, we ask in this and all other blessings. Amen. The redemptive works of Jesus.
We speak often of how that we know through the Word of God, Jesus
is coming again. There are many scriptures relating us to His return, referring us or relating to us His return. That should cause one to wonder why, if the Bible states these facts, and we know the Word of God to be true, why do we ignore the Word of God as presented in His Bible? In these few verses of scripture, we find something else. In verse number 24, He's in heaven. We see where He has been in verse number 26, in this world. And we are to be a sacrifice, and we see His coming back in verse number 28. These show us His past work, His present work, and His future work. So this morning, for these few minutes that we have here, this morning we want to talk about the redemptive works of Jesus. When we speak of His past work, we are talking about what He has already accomplished on our behalf. In other words, His first coming to this earth. He came to pay our debt that we could not pay.
And we should all understand that. Consider, if you will, every end of every month as the bills come due for the first of the following month. We began to assemble our bills together. And we began, some of us began to realize, I don't have enough money to make my bills this month. And this is just what happened to us when Jesus came into this world. We didn't have enough, but we couldn't afford to pay. So Jesus stepped in.
Jesus stepped in and took our place.
The debt we could not pay, but a debt that we owed. So He stepped in and paid on our behalf. Notice in verse number 26 of our
text where it says, but
now in the end of
the world had He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. That's the price we could not afford to pay.
Jesus paid it all for us. Jesus paid it all in chapter 19 in verse number 10, the Bible states, He clearly made His mission known. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Stated again in 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But I want you to think, I want you to just think for a moment.
Where would we be without Jesus? And let us not think for just one moment Jesus, being as great as He is, could not have saved Himself from the cross. In Matthew 26 and verse number 53, the Bible says, "Think not that I cannot pray to my Father and He shall say presently give me more than 12 legions of angels." He continues on in verse number 54, where He says, "But how that shall then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that it must be for us for our deliverance? From our
sins." Sin is a separation from God. Jesus has worked in the past and He's still working in the present for us. Jesus is our worker in heaven. Jesus is our go-between in heaven, between man and God. So the question we should be asking ourselves is, are we working for Him as hard as He's working for us? When you think about it, many of us say that, "Oh, I love the Lord." But many of us don't show by our actions that we love the Lord. We say one thing, but our action shows something else. But Jesus is still working for us. He is now our intercessor. Jesus suffered pain, desperation, and loneliness
while He was on the cross. But after His death, He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Rose on the third day. The stone that was used to block the door of the tomb was rolled away so that Jesus may leave the grave. So where did He go and where is He now? He is in heaven. I want you to watch verse 24 of our text. He is not in man-made places, but heaven itself in the presence of God.
And somebody may say, "Well, how do you know that, preacher?" Well, I know because the Bible has us
a witness. If you'll notice Acts chapter 7 and verse number 55 of Acts chapter 7.
The Bible says, speaking of Stephen. Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly. Where? And where did he look? He looked into heaven. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. But I want you to notice, if you will, verse 56, where he announced his eyewitness account. He said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man."
Now, who is that but Jesus Christ? He said, "I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Jesus, what are you doing for us now? Well, in 1 John chapter 2, in the verses number 1, the Bible gives us an answer. First of all, it
tells us that we should not sin, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 34, the Bible says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us." I told you
he was
interceding for us. What does this mean for us? It means He paid our debt. And we should be encouraged and thankful all at the same time that the debt was discharged and marked paid in full by His cross. He is now sitting at God's right hand, always there to make intercessions for us. We make these intercessions for us as our advocate, the one who can put our case before the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ is sitting between the Father and us. He is in heaven to
continue to work for us. In Hebrews chapter 4 and the verses, verse 4 through 16. I want you to go with me to Hebrews
chapter 4 and verses 4 through 16. In verses 4 through 16.
In chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, I should say. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
Now what does
that mean? That means we ought to stick to what we are, what we call ourselves, and that's Christians.
Sure.
We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us
therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace,
that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is there to help us in time of need. Our Lord and Savior is interceding with the Father on our behalf.
And you know something? Satan is constantly trying to sway us, but Jesus is there to let him know those
who are his own. He is in heaven to continue to work for us, as I said
there and read for you in Hebrews chapter 4. And
an invitation that lets us
know that how to come
before the throne of grace in order that we may obtain grace and mercy and help in our time of need. To us, God is good to us.
You know, and when I think about it sometimes, I ask myself this question frequently. I say to myself, Jesus, why are you so good to us? And some of us just never appreciate how really good Jesus is
to us. Many don't talk about it, but Jesus is coming back for a final work. He's coming back, and many of us don't like to speak about it. They don't want to hear about it.
But whether
it be silent or not, Jesus is coming back for his second and final work. His first or past was that of delivery, or delivering, or freeing us from the bondage of sin. His present work is that of interceding on our behalf. And his final work will be that of the judgment when he comes back for us. In verse number 28, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9 and 28, and unto them that look for him shall he appear for the second time without sin unto salvation. Now make no mistake about it. He is coming one final time, and we all shall see him. According to Revelation 1 and verse number 7, the Bible Lord shall come, that every eye shall see him. In Acts verse number 1 and 11, the Bible says, he shall come in the same way he left, that is in the clouds. So the question becomes for us,
Lord, when shall you come? I'll tell you, it shall be sudden,
according to Matthew 24 and verse number 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
Jesus
will be seen by all just as lightning across the heaven.
He will not be in a secret place nor in a dark room,
but he shall be seen by all. The question is this. How will you be seen? Will you be seen in favor with him? Or will you be standing a guilty distance from him? There will be no time to repent. There will be no time to say, can I get another chance?
I'll do better if you just give me one more chance, Lord. I'll get it right tomorrow. No more I'll get it right tomorrow. No more I wished I had listened to Granny. No more I wished I had listened to all those
other than the people that used to come see me from church, who used to try to teach me and try to tell me that Jesus is coming, and I didn't want to hear it. No more opportunities to get it right. No more saying, if I have just one more chance, I'll be better in this life. Be too late then. So the question becomes, are you standing a guilty distance from God's throne or not? To all those who are found faithful, there awaits a crown of life which has been promised. In James chapter 1, verse number 12, the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. I want you to consider for a moment that life is a journey. And as with any journey, if you plan to take a trip, and you're going somewhere that you've never been before in your life, but you're going to drive there. Now, wouldn't it make sense that you sit down and plan out your... Well, today we got computers. We can go to MapQuest and get some driving directions. But before MapQuest, you had to take a map. And I couldn't figure out how to read a map many times. So I had to learn to focus on where my trip was going. And back in those days, they used to have, well, Texaco, I know, had one, where you could go into the planning center. And they would map out the route. They would take a marker and mark out the whole route for you. You get down to Route 49, he would say,
and then you, instead of going to the left, you go to the right. And you take 39. And then when you get down a ways on 39, then you take 64. Wherever you were going, you would plan it out, in other words. So when you were going on this journey, and you hope to get somewhere you've never been, you needed help. So God has given us help to get on to find the way to get to heaven. And that's right here in the Scriptures. The Scriptures teach us how to get to heaven. It teaches us the way to go and the way to get there. But some still don't believe it. When we travel this road called life, we may have some troubles that get in our way. We may have some problems that crop up and cause us headaches and problems along the way. But our goal is to get to where we want to get to. So in James 1 and 12, that scripture that talks about the crown of life means that we've got to be patient, because it said when we've endured that temptation, we must have patience to get to where we need to be. We must be ready, willing, and able to do the Lord's work and do the Lord's will of whatever He tells us to do. And when once we take this trip, we get on the road on this trip that we were taking, when we get along the way, sometimes we'll look up and we'll see a familiar sign. And that sign may say something to the effect that the next town is 20 miles away. Now, I remember taking a trip personally. I got on a spot on the highway, and the sign said, no exit, no entrance, no service for the next 100 miles. And I thought to myself, now what if this car breaks down? I'm stuck out in the middle of the Utah Sandy Hills. And I said to myself, I probably actually went into prayer. If I had any sense, I did. I should have went into prayer to ask God to guide me, to get me through. But thank God, even if I didn't go into prayer, He got me through it. So that's what He's doing for us today. He is helping us to navigate the course of life that we may reach heaven, to make heaven our home. But later, He's going to return for us. In verse number 27 of Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible tells us that we've got an appointed time, once appointed to man to die, and then the judgment. So you've got to prepare for the judgment. And you see, I can't wait until I die to get it right. I've got to get it right before I die. Because once I die, there'll be be no getting it right. You know, I always tell you,
don't ask me to help you when we get up before the judgment seat, because I'm going to be trying to help myself. So
I always tell you to
get it right down here. If you get it right down here,
maybe
you'll have it right to go up there. But we've got
to stand before the judgment.
And Hebrews tells us 9:27
that judgment shall come. So I ask the question this morning, will you trust Christ to order the steps of your life? Will you allow Christ to be your guidance
in this life? When I think about it, I think about
how great and how good God is to us. And you know, we can't be as good to ourselves as God is to us. We just cannot,
because we don't have the resources, we don't have the power, nor do we have the authority. So I
ask you this morning, as I bring this message to
a close, I ask you this morning, will you trust the Lord? Will you give your life to the Lord? Will you allow Him to guide you and carry you through it and get you on the
path to heaven? Now God is not going to, in the judgment, God is not the one who put you in heaven or hell. He doles
out where you'll go, but He gives us
the choice right now as to where we want to make our home, heaven or hell.
If you're good and you trust and you endure it and hold out,
then heaven can be
your home. But if you don't hold out, I'll tell you, the other place may become your home. And the other place is not a pleasant place. The Bible tells us that
in the end there shall be gnashing of teeth, and there'll be a fiery place that we are going to go to. And that's not pleasant. Is it, church?
It's not pleasant at all. So I ask the question this morning, will you allow God to lead your life? Will you allow Him to be your guide? Will you allow Him
to
lead you into heaven? And somebody asked the question before as to where or what I need to do in order to be saved. They asked that question and asked. They didn't say to be saved. They asked, what shall we do? And so the question becomes, what shall we as mankind do?
Well, you come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. You know, some of us have already taken those steps, but we sometimes go astray. And many of us find that it's hard to get back on the right path. And when it becomes hard to get back on the right path, you need some help. And I know, especially being men, we don't like to ask for help. Call pride. We don't like to ask nobody for any help. We'll go somewhere and we need money, we'll go borrow money from a loan company. But we won't ask for help from our brothers and sisters. And men many times don't like to listen to their wives either. On that same imaginary trip that I was talking about a few minutes ago, how many times have your wife told you, I think you should have turned right back there? And you say, no, I got this. And you keep going. And you get about 25 miles down the road. I think I should have turned back there. Well, your wife already told you that. But you didn't listen. So that's the way it is with some of us with the Bible. We don't listen. We don't listen to what the Bible is telling us to do. Jesus is definitely coming back one day. And you know what? It may be sooner rather than later that He's coming back.